Chairman John Allen is stepping down after the publication of allegations about inappropriate behaviour towards women, which he denies. In his first appearance at an Arab League summit since 2011, President Assad of Syria has spoken of an historic opportunity to remake the Middle East. Leaders of the G7 group of advanced economies have agreed at their summit in Japan to strengthen sanctions against Russia. A factory making electric car batteries looks set to be built in Somerset. The government has defended its £1 billion package of support for the semiconductor industry after critics suggested it was inadequate. A man who ran iSpoof, a website which helped other fraudsters, has been jailed for 13 years. And the US space agency NASA has enlisted the help of Amazon's founder Jeff Bezos with its moon launch program. BBC News.
Read by Tom Sanders. In a moment, no slacking for this lot. They've all turned up for work and managed to avoid any high-speed paparazzi pursuits. The news quiz team stand poised to overhaul the headlines in a moment. First, though, we're not afraid to ask the big questions on this station.
Why is it called a smart speaker? Because it's smart. You ask it to do something and it'll be done. Just say, smart speaker, ask BBC Sounds to play your favourite music mix.
Oh, that's nice.
Or you can say, ask BBC Sounds to play that brand new podcast.
Ooh.
And you can even ask BBC Sounds to pause, rewind and restart live radio on your smart speaker. If only everything in life is that simple. For music, radio and podcasts on most smart speakers, just say, smart speaker, ask BBC Sounds.
Now on BBC Radio 4, not one but five smart speakers completely unaided by artificial intelligence. It's our Friday night 6:30 comedy on the UK Station of the Year. Cue fanfare.
Hello. Hello, welcome to the news quiz. I'm Andy Zaltzman. It is a bit of a sombre week to be doing the show, a week in which it seems that the last vestige of hope has finally been extinguished and 3D scans have shown the Titanic did definitely sink. We will try to lighten the mood. Our teams this week, in a week in which we've received another alarming climate warning and politicians have reaffirmed their entrenched views on things, we have Team Catastrophe against Team Dogma. Let's call it Cat v Dog. On Team Cat, we have Neil Delamere and Ashley Story. And on Team Dog, Jeff Norcott and the deputy editor of The Spectator, Freddie Gray. Neil and Ashley, the first question goes to you. According to the Office for National Statistics, more than 2.5 million people in the UK are currently not working. Why?
Why bother? Because it's hard and difficult. Are we not working because we've all been injured? We're all ill and sick and injured.
That's correct.
And the main thing is, and this is deeply embarrassing, it's not like real injuries. It's sitting wrong. We've been sitting on chairs wrong, and that means our spines hurt. And our I looked it up, and the lady said you have to sit up straight, and your elbows should be at a 90-degree angle as you type, and that's how you stop your back from hurting. Just getting in that shape to demonstrate it on radio, which I realise is stupid as I do it, hurt me physically. So I don't know how I'm supposed to sit to not be in pain, but I'm in pain constantly. How are you feeling, Neil?
That is it. That's a deeper philosophical question, to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah, apparently it's people who are working from home and they've got injured sitting in the wrong way, and also mental health issues among younger people. Now, I know my older relatives are listening to this, losing their minds, going, we went to work, we never missed a day of work, and you had all your vaccinations and we didn't have vaccinations. Do you know how to vaccinate a granny when she was your age? Holy water, that's all they had for everything. Broken leg, holy water. Schizophrenia, holy water. She fell in a well once. They just blessed the well. That was granny. That was granny. And she would have gotten rabies, except her whoop and cough scared that dog away. The dog ran up and went, rawr, 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 and granny went, rawr. And the dog went, you can't catch her twice. So I think, in summary, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, this episode of the news quiz was supposed to have another five comedians on, but they were all too ill to come. So, I mean, it's a bit of a concern for the country, isn't it? This is, I think, one in 14 people who could be working are unable to do so because of health issues.
Yeah, health issues, or are they just staying at home seeing if Phil and Holly actually punch each other. I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, what Neil says about young people, though. They've been through a lot, haven't they? If you went to school during the COVID years, I knew my temperature every day for a year and a half. You know what I mean? I had to take a lateral flow test before I could go in the sandpit. I watched my mother breastfeed my little brother wearing a welder's mask, so, you know, maybe I will have one or two strange sexual fetishes as I age. Wow. There was a guy in the back there that laughed way too strangely. Like that. He's like, already there, mate, already there. But then also, how do you call in sick when you go, you know, you call in sick, I've got an injury and I won't be able to come in the office. You go, you're already not coming into the office. It's like, yeah, but I won't be able to go downstairs and work. They go, well, you're only really sending 3 emails every 8 hours. So, I mean, I'll go for the extreme right-wing take. I would say out of the 2.5 million people that are long-term sick, there may be one or two that are slightly taking liberties.
I can contribute to the extreme right-wing take because the Spectator's figure is that it's 5.3 million.
Oh, right.
It's double.
Right.
There are double as many people calling off sick. A lot of it's long COVID, which, you know, has anyone here got long COVID?
That is a trick question.
Don't tell him anything.
I think it's long furlough.
I mean, is it, Freddie, is it, I mean, in your coverage of this in the Spectator, is this a sort of a long-term problem now in the economy? Is it something that...
I think so, yeah, and I think, I mean, it does tie into, and again, I'm going to sound very right-wing, so bear with me, it ties into the net migration figure, because we have so many people now on long-term sick benefits that we are importing a whole new, you know, 700,000 is the net figure that's going to come out next week. That's about the city of Southampton.
And what, just stack Southamptons on top of each
just
other?
Just endless Southamptons, yep. Building up on top of each other. Yes, it's actually a really... I'm trying to make a joke about this, but it's actually... it's quite a bad problem.
I think your approach where you say, I'm sorry, I'm going to sound really right-wing, I think... Suella Braverman could do with a dose of that, couldn't she? Like, you know, little heads up, this one's going to be a bit ripe. Does it have to be Southampton? I mean, you know, just nothing, no shade on the people of Southampton. It's not, you know, there are other cities we could have.
I don't know any other cities that are about 700,000.
Yeah, I tell you right now, there's a geeky bloke in the audience thinking, I do. Go on, say it.
Well, Edinburgh's about that, isn't it? Is that about
700,000? It turns out it was Andy.
Right. I am literally a professional geek, Jeff. Yes, indeed, the Office for National Statistics, which claims its figures are more than 73% accurate at least 56% of the time, has revealed that more than 2.5 million people are not working due to health problems. Now, aside from the long-form tragedies of our national COVID-ishly aggravated physical and mental health epidemic, other reasons given for missing work include realising that there is more to life than the endless carnivorous competition of the capitalist rat race dream, being bored of politicians banging on about hard-working families, despite the fact that successive governments have made it well nigh impossible to get the kids even an entry-level labouring job these days, being MP for Uxbridge and South Ruislip, or just not really fancying getting at best minimum wage for picking asparagus to be nibbled on at a boozy lunch at which multi-millionaire stock market gamblers and political bigwigs whinge about how no one wants to do any real work anymore. We're now going to move on to related questions on this topic in a round we're calling One Wrong Word, because getting a single word wrong can make all the difference, as anyone who's ever said don't instead of do at a wedding can testify. What I'm going to do here is paraphrase something said this week by a leading political figure, but one word I will get deliberately wrong. Our panellists have to tell me what that word is and what word or words should be in its place. As an example, this week Jeremy Hunt said, all of you, just go to hell. Now, the wrong word is hell. What he actually meant was the office. Encouraging people to stop working from home so much. So, Jeff and Freddie, tell me the one wrong word in this paraphrase from Suella Braverman this week. She said words to the effect, ordinary British people should be shot. Which one word is wrong?
I think it's ordinary, she meant all. Or is instead of shot, should it be tasered until they get a job? Just repeatedly tasered.
Well, that's warmer, actually.
Okay.
Yep, that's getting warmer.
I thought it might be British. It's a global Britain. It's a post-Brexit shooting of all people.
Is ordinary wrong and it's just non-British people should be shot? Because that seems bang on trend for her.
It's a good answer, but it's the wrong...
No, I think the real answer is should be trained to be fruit pickers.
Yes.
And labourers.
Yes, lorry drivers and...
Lorry drivers correct. And labourers, yeah.
I mean, it's not that unreasonable, is it? The problem with fruit picking, there's no real career ladder there. Or is there? I don't know. You start on the gooseberries and they go, look, you could be doing... You could be doing melons by autumn.
Why doesn't Braverman look to her own party? I mean, 80,000 Tory members picked a lettuce to be the Prime Minister.
I think that the Tory party are in self-destruct mode, so I think what she really meant was ordinary people should be trained to be fruit pickers and then shot.
This is lorry drivers as well, though, isn't it? Yep. Gove. Michael Gove would make a great lorry driver. Apparently he can stay awake all night, apparently.
Freddie, this speech was made at the rather curious National Conservatism Conference.
Now, yes.
Aside from the slight historical taintedness of political organisations with the word national on the front, it was quite a bizarre conference, but people seem to interpret this as Braverman gearing up for a potential future leadership bid. Is that something that we should all be absolutely terrified about?
quite possibly. I was there at the Nazi... but I missed Suella's speech. But the funny thing was, it's a bunch of sort of right-wing American intellectuals came over and put on this conference. What they didn't expect was to watch the Tory party eat itself alive. While they wanted to talk about, the free market versus protectionism, they had to listen to Suella Braverman essentially making a leadership pitch. And I think it's probably true to say that she's now gearing up to quit. And Rishi Sunak hates her.
I was looking at some of the American speakers at that conference and I was thinking, whoa, the cloakroom there is actually a cloakroom.
If she's going for Rishi's job, those are small shoes to fill. If there's even talk of Suella Braverman leading the party, I think that... they've burnt through a lot of talent, haven't they, really? with Brexit and COVID. And I think they're soon going to have some time to reflect.
Yes, despite Brexit having, as promised, enabled us to fill our long-cherished national dream of watching unpicked British strawberries slowly rotting in our fields every summer, Home Secretary Suella Braverman has controversially advocated training British people to pick fruit, with Rishi Sunak's leadership having dragged on now for an epic 8 months. Some took Braverman's speech as a sign that she's manoeuvring into position to challenge for the leadership. Our next one-word wrong question goes to Neil and Ashley, and this is from Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who this week said, "I want to bring the bastards down." What is the one wrong word in that, and what did he actually say?
I think that's spot on.
Is bastards wrong and Cub Scouts?
What's his beef with the scouts, you say, Neil?
He never got his badges. He's furious. He tried very hard for his road crossing badge over and over again, and he just couldn't do it because his feet were too small and they kept slipping between the stanks.
Thank you for that information.
Can we talk
inform, about... educate and entertain. Rethi and Valley.
Can we talk about his trousers? They really annoy me. Why'd they go halfway down his legs? You're the first Hindu Prime Minister. Calves are sacred. I shouldn't see yours.
Any suggestions for what?
Inflation.
No, it's not inflation.
Oh.
Look, he genuinely thought he got the right answer. I was really pleased. Light go out in your eyes.
A bell went off in my brain.
Yeah, I think you're having a stroke, I think.
It's a number, as in bring net migration down. Because, despite the government's stated ambition to get net migration down to under 100,000 a year, it's currently surging and could hit apparently 675,000, meaning if that continues, let me just run the stats quickly, the entire population of the world will live in Britain in less than 12,000 years' time. So, politically, it's something that has to be addressed. I mean, Fred, clearly this is an issue that they are homing in on. Is it working for them, the Conservatives? It doesn't seem to be in the
I think
polls.
Rishi Sunak wants to bring it down from a Southampton to a kind of Milton Keynes.
Right.
I think that's the target. I mean, it's very odd, isn't it, that Brexit was this very controversial subject and has actually ended up meaning more immigration, drastically more. And I think a lot of people are very confused by that because they thought they were voting to bring immigration down and it's gone up.
So it's almost like it wasn't explained before you voted.
Well, quite. So now you have a lot of Brexiteers suddenly becoming very pro-immigration because Brexit has given us an enormous amount of immigrants. We're talking about legal migration. So these are all visas that are given. And I find it very odd when the government says there's, you know, nothing we can really do about this. But just tell the Home Office to give out less visas. It doesn't seem that complicated.
I cannot believe you said that on Radio 4. It's fewer visas.
I'd fail the immigration test.
That's an extra point for linguistic pedantry. That's what we want on this show. Right, another question now. This can go to Neil and Ashley. Jeremy Hunt, this time. He was talking again about people working from home, and he said, tell me which is the one wrong word here. People working from home means that businesses are missing out on those valuable arse on the photocopier moments. What's the one wrong word there?
Again, I think you're reading from the wrong script. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the man said.
Well, it's hyphenated, arse on the photocopier.
I think I remember it's water cooler moments.
Water cooler moments.
Yes, that's correct. What we're missing.
Yeah,
those conversations by the water cooler. That's what's keeping Britain's economy down. Nothing to do with trading relationships.
Didn't Hunt say that he wants work to be the default? You have to be...
Working at the office, yes.
Yeah, in the office rather than in your gaff. What if you work in the Home Office? I've always wondered that.
We're getting into very complex philosophical territory here. What is home? What is office?
What?
More from the moral maze next week. how important is it? I assume you both studied the economic figures on how much difference it makes if you're...
We have, but I'll let Freddie go with this one.
Is it that important for our national workforce to use trains that don't work, paying money they don't have to do jobs they don't want to do? That's essentially what Hunt seems to be saying.
That's how the economy works.
Okay. That's reassuring.
I don't know. I think Jeremy Hunt's very worried about this. He's said it quite a lot, that he's worried about the office cultures being lost. And nobody cares.
I mean, it is funny, isn't it, like how emasculated politics is now, is that the Chancellor has to sort of go, well, maybe people should... I was going to go to work. People are like, how dare you? This toxic right-wing narrative from this government. Absolutely ceaseless.
And it's not do the work. It's you might have some fun by the water cooler.
Yeah, I mean, like, Matt Hancock couldn't have said that one, could he?
Yes, indeed. It is a truth universally acknowledged that Jeremy Hunt is the most inspirational figure in the country. And this week, the Chancellor of not just the Exchequer, but also of our hearts, took it upon himself to eyeball us like a First World War recruitment poster and say, your country needs you to go back to the office, please. Hunt has said that working from home creates a lack of creativity, and he should know. He works from home in 11 Downing Street, and the most creative thing he's come up with is pressing Control-C on some bits he found in an old Word document on the 11 Downing Street computer called Georgie's Austerity Ideas 2010. The work from home boom was accelerated by the pandemic, of course, but has long been fueled by celebrities such as the Pope, the Queen, and all prime ministers since 1735. Of course, some jobs are very tough to do from home. For example, zookeeper. Throwing handfuls of fish into your own living room doesn't feel quite as useful as it does in the context of a penguin enclosure, for example. Town crier really puts a limit on your range. As well as evening exposed to allegations of statutory nuisance under the Environmental Protection Act 1990. Thank you, Brussels. Also tough to do from home, hitman and nuclear weapons tester. Let's move on now with the scores tantalisingly poised at 10 points all to some world news stories. I think I go to both teams. Our featured chess move on the news quiz this week is world leader to G7. And ahead of their get-together in Hiroshima, the G7 were urged to unite against what? Anyone?
Like, I'm scared to say it in case I'm wrong, but was it China? Was Liz Truss telling them to, like, together and get against China?
I mean, I know the news is hot. I mean, Liz Truss is no longer a G7 leader, sadly. But she did say that. China was one of the... Also, there was another option, unite against...
Nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Although Liz Truss did go to Taiwan and started talking about China, just to confuse everyone.
Which is a bit awkward, Liz Truss in Taiwan, because a lot of other countries don't necessarily recognise Liz Truss as a former prime minister.
And also, if you wanted to bring down the Chinese government, Liz Truss slagging them isn't the plan. Send her in and give her 3 weeks in their government and then it'll be done.
I mean, Liz Truss saying something's a threat to the UK. It's like COVID having a pop at bird flu, isn't it? what can we really do? We want to be in a situation where we're fighting a proxy war against Russia and China. I think what we need to say is go, look, please don't. Just say that. Just say...
I mean, this G7 isn't a G7, really, because they're inviting various other Indo-Pacific nations.
It's like Eurovision, isn't it? The moment they invited Australia, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm dying, I'm done with this.
Freddie, question for you now. In America, can you tell me who has found themselves this week dangerously exposed, dangling from the ceiling in a compromising position and trying to get out with their dignity intact?
Well, that'll be Joe Biden. Correct. And the debt ceiling.
Yes.
I'm very glad you asked me about debt ceiling, because it's great comedy material. this happens every year in America. There's a sort of bipartisan fight about whether they should raise the debt ceiling, which is currently about $31 trillion, and they play a game of brinkmanship, sort of game of chicken, and in the end, they just eventually always raise the debt ceiling. Joe Biden was not going to go to Japan because it looked like the debt ceiling row might keep him, but then everyone realised he doesn't know what's going on anyway, and so they may as well send him to Japan. So you'd have seen him walking down the steps with an umbrella that he couldn't open. I think that's the real concern this time, is that normally everyone knows, you know, the Republicans know, the Democrats know, that neither side is going to actually do this and trigger a sort of global economic crisis by America missing out on its debt payments. But the problem with Joe Biden is everyone knows, doesn't quite know if he knows that that's what's going on.
It is weird that, like, the two front-runner guys in American politics for the last 4 years have been so old, you know. And then you've got Joe Biden, and then people say, well, you do jokes about him, it's ageist. It's having lived and observed men, really. They're not that in the game. And Trump gets to seem like the younger man.
Have you seen him on the golf course now when he takes a shot? And as soon as he hits the ball, he looks at the camera and he says, could Joe Biden do that? And that is the bar for becoming the next US president.
Yes, the debt ceiling, $31.4 trillion, and it's going to need to go higher or America could be repossessed by the bailiffs and presumably return to its previous owners. So welcome back to the mothership, our American friends. Our final round today with the scores now 12 to Team Dog, 10 to Team Cat, is a music round. You have to complete the classic lyric as updated to fit a new story this week. For example, the Elton John lyric, what do I say when it's all over? Sorry seems to be the... Should be finished this week with absolute bare minimum, given that we've blasted millions of tons of raw sewage into your waterways due to years of underinvestment. There are 11 million musical acts on Spotify. I've written them out longhand on this Wheel of Fortune. I will spin it now and give our panellists a lyric from whichever musical act it stops on. Let's spin the wheel. And for you, Freddie, you have got... Freddie, you have got Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Now complete this Frankie Goes to Hollywood lyric as updated by Keir Starmer this week. Relax.
I'm going to build more houses.
That's essentially correct. Well, relax planning restrictions on building new homes on Green Belt land.
Oh. Relax, you can vote for me because I'm secretly a Tory.
Relax. Don't do it when you want to vote Tory. See, I tried to actually sing it. I was thinking about the song. Do it again, Freddie, but sing it.
Well, I'll build more houses. Uh-huh.
Do it.
Please don't make me do this.
I mean, is this a good move from Starmer?
I think so. Electorally, yes. I think Labour are doing quite a good job of realising that the Tories have messed everything up, so any area in which they announce any policy will go down pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, what would Labour have to do to lose from here? And bear in mind, they do pull some pretty impressive defeated rabbits out of their battered argumentative hat.
I don't see any scenario at the moment in which Labour lose the next general election.
If the Tories are listening to this, they must be really good. They've got a geezer from The Spectator slating them and me slating them. They're going, I think we're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be... I'm enjoying this kind of weird war that, you know, so the Tories went, oh, you need voter ID. Yeah. And then Labour now go, oh, well, OK, you can vote when you're 16 or 17. How do you like that? And the Tories will come back, well, all right, well, if you've shot a pheasant, you get 7 votes. How about that? And Labour's going to be like, wow. Oh, Cubans can vote. What? I know it's quite a leftist country. The Tories were like, yeah, okay, prisoners can vote. My Labour like, okay, but only if you've committed white-collar crime.
Because they called it gerrymandering as well. That doesn't sound like what it is.
No.
That sounds like an initiation thing, doesn't it? You know, something like something that happened at Rees-Mogg probably. Oh, gerrymandered by the year 10s. Enjoyed it.
It sounds like a guy who scores touchdowns in the NFL. There's gerrymandering running down the street. And then I was thinking, if we're going to, like, impede people voting, just get the NFL to stand outside polling boxes. It doesn't matter if you're right, if you're left, you have to run through the gauntlet like gladiators in the 90s. Voters ready!
Let's spin the wheel to see who Ashley and Neil get. Oh, and you've got the American rapper Nelly. possibly one of his few appearances on Radio 4. Read the following Nelly lyric, updated by the World Meteorological Organization in some research this week. It's getting hot in here, so take...
Prince Andrew outside, he has no way of cooling his body.
It's getting hot in here and we're all going to die. The polar ice caps are melting into the sea and I'm going to take my top off.
That's essentially correct.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, scientists, those perennial research, waggling, reality, peddling, complacency, shaming doomsters, have said the world will probably break the 1.5 degree global warming threshold at some point by the year 2027, which I think qualifies us for a free trial Armageddon. See how we like it over a short term period and then decide if we'll sign up for it for good. Like all these things, if we'll forget to cancel it, it'll just roll on and we'll be doomed. So, I mean,
it's pretty scary when the World Meteorological Organization releases a report and it's not even written down. It's just Greta Thunberg crying in a sombrero. I feel like I've done my part, though. I do genuinely have an electric car, so I feel like I've done my part to save Armageddon.
Right.
Although it leads to rows. I parked in a train station the other day, and I was trying to get a charger, and there was a woman in the charging space, and I said, will you move your car, please? She went, no, I'm not going to move my car. I was like, you're completely in the wrong. And she goes, I don't care. I'm collecting my son from the train, and he has baggage. I was like, I bet he does with a weapon like you for a man.
Well, that brings us to the end. And our winners this week are Team Dog, Freddie and Jeff with 16. Team Cat, Ashley and Neil have 14. Before we go, some breaking news reaching us from the world of sport. The head coach of the Great Britain team at the World Anticipation Championships has resigned after his team were surprisingly knocked out in the first round by Uruguay. Bernard Pratt said at a press conference afterwards, I just didn't see that kind of performance coming and simply had to go. Thank you for listening. I've been Andy Zaltzman. Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Neil Delamere, Jeff Norcott, Freddie Gray and Ashley Story. In the chair was Andy Zaltzman, and additional material was written by Alfie Packham, Rebecca Bain, Davina Bentley and Cody Dahler. The producer was Sam Holmes, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4.
Great stuff. After the news, Natasha has a fight on her hands, when it does come with the territory if you marry into the Archer family, and George underestimates his new role. The Archers is in a couple of minutes. Next week, what would the Bard make of our world today?
Taking issue with Shakespeare.
The aim of this series is to put a different light on some contemporary problems. What was Shakespeare thinking about these similar issues 400 years ago?
Professor Emma Smith and guests investigate.
I know you're very interested in this idea of Hamlet and the incel.
From a very different perspective, Shakespeare can help us look at issues we think of as very contemporary differently.
Shakespeare sort of grapples with these questions of the qualities that make a good monarch.
Taking issue with Shakespeare. Next Monday to Friday afternoon at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The chairman of Tesco, John Allen, has said he remains determined to prove his innocence after it was announced he's stepping down from the retailer over allegations of misconduct. Tesco said it had found no evidence of wrongdoing, but the claims risk becoming a distraction. Tesco's board member, Byron Grote, will serve as an interim chairman until a replacement for Mr. Allen is found. G7 leaders have set out new sanctions on Russia, saying the measures will starve Moscow of the technology, equipment and services it needs to fight its war against Ukraine. Ukraine's President Zelensky will appear in person at the G7's annual meeting in Japan on Sunday. In a speech at the summit of the Arab League, he urged Arabic leaders not to ignore the reality of what was happening to Ukraine.
Unfortunately, there are some in the world and here among you who turn a blind eye. And I'm here so that everyone can take a non-